everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Drunk Friend Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. Over there in a much sunnier side of the world than me, in lovely Albuquerque, is Alex. Alex, how are things?
Good. So far, so good. I feel like I'm talking to a cashier when you ask me that, so I just say so far, so good to everybody that I meet.
Your cashiers are that, they talk to you like podcast hosts. They're like, how you doing, Alex?
Well, you doing, Alex? All right, we're over here recording.
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but I'm just saying, like...
The small talk's awkward.
Yeah, small talk is tough for me. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a battle. You know, I'm always fighting for what I really want to talk about, which is usually Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball, which I really need to shorten to a few syllables rather than like 27 syllables that I have to roll off the end of my tongue at a moment's notice. But we have a guest.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you think about what the short name for that would be while we introduce our guest. Welcome back to the show, Merritt Kay. Thanks for coming back.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I think more podcast hosts should talk like 90s, like morning radio guys, you know? Like, I feel like that would liven things up a lot.
Yeah, we need nicknames, though. One thing from 90s ass morning radio is everybody had a moniker, like Trav would be like the Bulldog.
Right, it's always like X and the Y, like... Yeah, like right. Smokey and the Bulldog. Like.
Slippy and the Bulldog. Here at 93X. All we play is AC/DC and Van Halen.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that cuts to Panama or something.
I mean, we are kind of like drunk and a friend. And it's kind of kind of works a little bit loosely.
I never thought of that. Wow, the name finally makes sense to me after a few years. Thank you, Trav.
Yeah, dude, I thought it was that. Okay, I thought all along that's what we were shooting for. It's fine that we just now figured it out, but that's cool.
You'll forgive me for talking like this the rest of the time. I'm gonna talk like the monster truck announcer guy.
You know, small talk would also be easier if you used that voice. Like, doing just fine. How about you shooting over to the cashier?
How about you? How are you doing?
That's a great, Alex. Next time you're checking out at the grocery store, hit them with that little number when they're like, how are you, sir? Lean in.
What about this weather? I don't know. Is it going to pass? Yeah. Softly cloudy and kind of
cold.
And
you need like a horn or something so you can go like, like toss in sound effects.
You just said today's wacky secret word.
God. I don't miss that. Yeah. I can't believe FM... I seriously can't believe FM radio still exists, like, in any form.
It's wild.
Like, who listens to this?
I don't know.
It's like, unreal.
Yeah.
My wife listens to NPR, and every time I'm in the car, I'm like, you listen to this. Like, you can read this on your phone. You don't have to listen to it. They write all this down for you when you wake up. My phone's like, hey, you want to hear all the worst things going on in the world? And I'm like, yeah, for sure. I don't want to get in my car and have it read to me.
The dulcet tones of Terry Gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Terry Gross does have dulcet tones.
She's a legend, yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, speaking of small talk, we've apparently ran out of it. But Merritt, thanks again for coming on the show. Last time you were here was way back in the year 1995.
And, yeah, wow. It seems like only yesterday.
I know. And actually, I'm looking at it. It was almost exactly a year ago. It was October 14th of last year.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Really did not seem that long ago.
I agree. And Alex,
that's
like,
a little scary.
Sheesh.
Thinking about when we started doing like the yearly
podcasts.
You know, that was in August of last year. So that's crazy.
All right. That's crazy. Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. And if we were still doing that, today would be... Last year, 2022.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you do last year?
You're on this podcast. This is what happened. So we talked last time. You were working on a book, a land party, what they call a coffee table book. And
yeah.
That's coming out soon, right?
Yeah. I think the pre-funding version should be coming out like any day. like people might be starting to get it at this point. I haven't heard. My publisher's in England, so it's like kind of I don't hear from them for a while sometimes.
Huh.
Because the boat takes a while to send the message over here from the old world.
The bird.
But yeah, like they said, late October, and we're in November, so I'm pretty sure people are going to start getting it. And then I'll just sneak a quick plug in here, but
yeah, please.
They did say they're putting out a retail version, so you can pre-order it. Like if you didn't get the original, like basically we did a Kickstarter. If you weren't in on that and you want a book of photos of LAN parties from the 2000s with a bunch of essays by smart games people like Josh Sawyer, then you can pre-order it on Amazon, or like probably you should be able to through your local bookstore too. I don't know what that process. I mean, you should do that probably, not Amazon. but I know some people don't have a store they can do that with. But yeah, so it's like it's been such a long process. Turns out putting a book together, especially a book with like that's mostly pictures, you'd think like, oh, it would be easier because you don't have to write it all. But it's like, but then you have to do like layouts, and you have to like do rescans of photos and get the rights to images, and it's like a lot. So
yeah,
it's cool that it's finally coming out though.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see it.
I'm certainly excited for it, and I'm happy to put whatever links you have in our show notes here for anyone who wants to check it out. Even if it is that dastardly Amazon link, I mean, it's at least a way for people to get a hold of it. But I do see.
If you have to go to Jeff's site, then you know, go to Jeff's site.
Yeah, Jeff needs a cut sometimes.
Yeah.
I will say the Amazon site says the title will be released on January 30 of 2024. So.
Yeah, that is the retail version.
Great. Okay. There's a date for folks if you're looking for that Valentine's Day gift for your land party loved one.
Yeah, we're gonna miss Christmas, but hitting Valentine's Day, we're hitting Groundhog Day, which is a big gift giving holiday.
That's great, man. And if all you got to do is search land party Merritt K, you'll find it, and you'll see a preview.
You'll find
of
it. Yeah,
some of the pictures. My favorite that I can relate to the most is the kid with a bunch of Mountain Dew Code Red cans like outlining his monitor. And he's got like a bunch of CD spindles with like Sharpie scribbled on him. It's like, that's me in 2002. Like, that is totally me. And with the monitors, one of the monitors looks like it has Cool Edit on it. It's like, oh my god, that is basically me. Like, it's, and he has this giant freaking tower on his desk. It's like, yeah, I am in this picture right now. It looks fantastic. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, thank you. It's, there's like, I think a lot of people have had the same reaction of just like, yeah, that is me, like surrounded by these like spindles of CDIs with like StarCraft written on them in Sharpie.
It's everything from like, even the picture quality is nostalgic, but the clothes that people are wearing, the hairstyles, you know, it's not just the LAN aspect. It's the time capsuleness of it. So it's
totally
a
lot of like spiky, like frosted tips. The shirts with like the flames and stuff on them.
So how many pictures are in the book total? How many?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. It's like a few hundred.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a few hundred, and then there's like a bunch of essays by people, you know, like talking about their experiences with the period, or like talking about like the history of that and like how it kind of came into being. And I wrote this big introduction for it that talks about all that stuff and kind of talks about how like the beginning of the end was kind of like Halo 2 for me is when I mark it, because that's when Xbox Live really started to kick off.
Right. And
then you move from this era of like games, like, you know, signing into like servers on games versus just like partying up and going into a matchmaking queue. And also online play just got like a lot easier. And like, that's great. Like, I think that's good. But it is weird how like a lot of games now don't even have like the option to do like local connections.
Right.
Like if you were playing a game like on a gaming laptop with your friend in the same room, you'd probably have to like connect to the internet and then be playing through that connection, which is like really weird.
Yeah. It was weird. Certainly a different time. What is there a like a year parameter set around sort of the like what's the specific era that is covered in this book? Is there cutoff dates?
It's focused on the 2000s. There's some pictures from the 90s. There's not that many just because digital cameras weren't really as much of a thing in that point. And like a lot of people have like maybe lost their like analog photos. But we have some from the 2010s and even like a few from the 2020s. There's actually a really fun photo from like 2021 where these guys recreated the launch of Halo 2 by like getting like 8 CRTs and like 8 Xboxes, and like they got the original Duke controllers too, those like enormous ones, and set up like a Halo 2 LAN party in someone's house, and like it looks like it's from 2004 and it's from actually like not that long ago. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad that it's all coming together. I know a few folks, especially ones in our Discord, have been excited for this, so good job. Looking forward to it. And an interview like this doesn't come without someone asking you, what's next? Are you looking in the future for other projects similar, or are you doing something different altogether?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been, since we last spoke, I actually left my job at the games media website that I was working at and have been doing freelance writing, and I've actually started writing a lot of fiction. It's been cool. Like, so on Blue Sky, which is sort of where I've been lately, like because I haven't been on Twitter as much, Neil Gaiman somehow saw one of the stories I wrote and was like, this is quite excellent.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, holy shit. So I like screen capped that and I'm like, like, this is on my resume now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, my website for that stuff is otherstrangeness.com. And I have a Patreon for that as well, where like, if you want to see like work in progress, longer form stuff, or like I post some exclusive stories on there too. So yeah, right now I'm basically like working on a few projects. I'm working on a novella. The one other thing is, if you are a comics person, I have, a Howard the Duck comic coming out this month, which is so weird.
Duck. Wow. Yeah. You're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all over the place.
I'm all over the road. But sometimes I swerve into like a power up and it's good. But like Ghostbusters on the NES or something.
Right.
But yeah, I was just thinking about that because I saw your video on that the other day. But
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's Howard the Duck turns 50 this year, so they're put together like a what if issue. So it's like a bunch of different stories. Daniel Kibblesmith wrote one of them, and I forget who the other one is, and then I wrote one, which was really cool to be asked to do that. And it's so cool to like see something you wrote become a comic. Like,
I can't imagine. Yeah, that's like, awesome.
Wow, like my words are like coming out of these characters' mouth. That's an extremely talented person drew. That rules.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that comes out at the end of the month, I think. And I have no idea how comics work. Like, do you pre-order? Like, I assume you just go to a comic store and are like, can you get in this issue and reserve it for me? But I haven't read or like bought comics in almost 20 years. So
I think that's kind of how it works, because I listened to a podcast that also put out their own line of comics, and they were like, if your comic book store doesn't have it, just ask them to get it. And I'm like, is that like a normal thing you can do? You just walk in and be like, hey, I don't like any of the shit you got.
I don't like your choices. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, hey, get rid of all this other stuff. You don't have what I want. And what I want is this.
And like,
order it right now. Get on the phone.
Why does he have a special way to get it? Why can't I just get it from where he's getting it?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Weird.
But anyway, folks will figure it out. That's awesome, though. So any links you have for any of these things, please.
Yeah, I'll toss you some links.
That is awesome. Man.
Yeah,
glad we brought you back on the show just because we thought you were fun to talk to. We didn't know you were putting out everything. This is a good opportunity.
Yeah, it's everything in
it.
In
it
all
happened
directions.
To be really good timing. yeah. But I'm psyched also to just like talk about games, because I've been like, you know, I was in this period while I was at my last job where it got to a point where like basically the only game I was playing was Destiny, because like I was covering it so much. And when I quit that job, I was like, I think I'm just like not going to play Destiny for a while. Because well, for like a bunch of reasons, but I've been playing a bunch of new stuff, which is cool. Like I,
yeah,
for the first time in years, I'm like actually like playing some of the big titles as they come out. So, and also just been playing some weird retro stuff.
What are some of those? What are some games you've been in the thick of?
So I finished my first playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3 and immediately started a second one.
Wow.
Oh, man. Because that game has its hooks in me real bad. It's one of those things where like, I feel like the last time this happened to me with a game was like Stardew Valley, where I would just be like up until 2 and then be like, I can't keep doing this. This is like, this is bad. But it's like, you know, now that I finished a playthrough, I'm like, okay, like I kind of know what the rhythm of the game is. So I've just been doing an evil playthrough now. and that's been fun.
That's right on. Yeah. I know what you mean, where it's just like, this is bad for my health.
Yeah.
And it's affecting people around me. So I'd better stop. Like,
yeah,
it's video games make you do that sometimes. So
yeah, which is, yeah, not great. But I've also been playing Super Mario Wonder.
Yep.
Which is really good. Like,
yeah, it's incredible. I just finished writing a video script thing that I do on that game, and it's going to post on Friday.
Oh,
and
snap.
I love that game. It's it's one of those where it's like, it's hard to do. It's hard to tell people like how games that are that hyped up, like, do they live up to those expectations? Right. I love that challenge of like coming up with ways to describe that. And that game is like a really good challenge because it's like, you can look at it and see it's like, oh, okay, it's like Mario on shrooms, I guess. But, it's so much more than that because, yeah, the way the difficulty is scaled and the multiplayer option online where you can just, like, sit and watch other people do stuff
really
and you can follow each other. It's so freaking cool. Like
they kind of made Mario Dark Souls, which is
exactly.
Wild. Yeah.
Yeah, it's stuff from Elden Ring in there. It's amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing game. It's my favorite new game that I've played this year by far.
Yeah, it's. I mean, for me, like Mario World is still like one of my favorite games of all time, and it's like the first game I ever owned. And this game like seems to be calling back to that so much in kind of the same way that like 3D Land called back to Mario 3.
Good call. Yeah. 3D Land for 3DS was kind of similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Because 3D Land was like, oh, we brought the raccoon stuff back.
Right.
And we brought like those kinds of things. And this one is like, okay, like just some of like the visuals and even like some of the musical themes and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's like Mario World right there.
And 3D Land also kind of, despite the title, it's kind of a 2D Mario. Like, it's the way the camera kind of like insists on shifting to the side every time makes it kind of a 2D game. So, that's a good comparison. Good pull there.
I will say the elephant thing is still kind of weird to me. Like, I think I realized what it is that just every other time Mario gets a power up, pretty much every other time, there's like a couple of times where this isn't the case, but he gets a suit, right? It's not like he becomes the thing. There's like, I think he becomes a Boo in Galaxy 2, and like there's probably a couple other times where he becomes something, but like it's always like, oh, it's a frog suit or a tanuki suit or a cat suit.
Right. Mario stays the same.
Yeah. Then they're like, no, what if the character just became an elephant though and just had these eyes that are just like staring out as they're like,
yeah,
like it's kind of weird.
That's part of the appeal is like, okay, what does Daisy look like as an elephant? Let's see. It's always funny.
Yeah.
But it's great. That's another spot on observation, but yeah, it is a great, it's just never gets old. Like it's such an addictive game because it's like, just one more level. I want to see what the flower does in this one.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, now I'm suddenly like a inflatable hippo Mario and I'm bouncing around everywhere. It's like, whoa. And when you get to the special world, it is the best kind of difficulty because it's like, how the hell am I supposed to do this? But it's also like, I think I can do this. I think I can get through. I think I can beat this. Like, just give me like another 200 chances and I think I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited to see more of it. I'm only on like the second world, I think.
Yeah. You got the special world is really fun.
Oh, I'm
it's
so excited.
Just like the star. It's treated the same way as the Star World in Mario World, where you have to unlock an exit in each world, and there's 8 levels, and those levels are the best in the game for my money anyway. So yeah, you got a lot to look forward to there.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's a good year for games in general. I was looking at an article the other day that was talking about like how the Metacritic scores for popular titles had, you know, sort of averaged out over the years, and 2023 was just a huge spike over the previous ones. And I don't know whether that's just like an industry shift towards being more positive or if it's actually a reflection of quality, but I tend to think this year there have been like some monster releases and they've been really well received.
There's been a lot of huge stuff.
Street Fighter VI. There's remakes there, like what do you call it? Dead Space remake, Resident Evil 4 remake.
Yeah. New Zelda.
And of course, Tears of the Kingdom. It's been a great year for sure. But
oh my god, that came out this year.
It did, like, it feels like it was 2 years ago already.
I haven't finished it yet because I was playing a bunch of it and then I think I started playing Baldur's Gate and that's why I fell off it. But
there you go.
But that game too is just like, wow, like incredible. And just like the thing that game did so well, and I don't want to talk about it too much because it's, you know, out of most people's minds at this point, but like it just made everything seem so like, oh, of course you would do this. Like, why doesn't every game do that? Like going down into a cave and getting a bunch of stuff is great, but then having to like walk back and everything is really boring. So why don't we just have a button that launches you up through the ceiling back to the ground? Like, yeah, that's so obvious.
Yeah, the first time I did that, and that's early in the game, I'm like, that is so much too much power to have that early. I was like, I can just go anywhere up? That's crazy. It seems like a cheat code.
Yeah.
Game Genie? They include the Game Genie on this Nintendo Switch thing here?
I freaking wish, dude.
Damn.
You have to get the Game Genie online. It's a subscription service. Man. And
that'd be hilarious.
You pay $5 a month.
Hey there. Are you out of goosebumps? Do you wish you had more goosebumps? Then come on down to We Got Goosebumps, where Trav and Dylan read to you from every Goosebumps. We got mummies. We got werewolves. We got dummies. They move on their own. You don't even need to worry about putting your hand up on them. Come on down to We Got Goosebumps, the podcast where we got goosebumps, and we'll give them to you.
All right, let's answer some emails, shall we? Our first one here is from Giano. Speaking of online subscriptions, we were just talking about this. It's called Switch Online Games. Title of the email says, "Good day, junk friends. One of the first things I do when Nintendo announces new Super Nintendo or NES games on their online service is to check if you guys have reviewed them. Do you see a significant uptick in views for these videos when these announcements are made? Do you ever consider making a quick video, short, or re-review to coincide with the renewed interest in these titles? Have a great rest of your week. Jono." Alex, you kind of, I don't want to say like you really pay that close attention to like algorithms and things, but I feel like sometimes you'll try to plan a video to coincide with a big release, right?
Sometimes to the point that some people think that I have like magic powers that I am able to conjure like these games that aren't already on Switch Online, and then like my video like convinces the head honchos at Nintendo like, well, we should probably put this on. I forget what the example was, but like people were like, oh my god, I can't believe you did that. And it's like, I didn't do anything. It's just a freaking, it's happened at least twice and it was a total coincidence both times.
That's
but
awesome.
A significant uptick, not, I wouldn't say it's significant. It's definitely an uptick, but it's not like thousands more views or anything like that. It's just like I don't know, a couple hundred or something like that. But there's, I'm always happy to see that because it's more people get to find out about this kind of stuff. What's funny is that the opposite is never true. Because, like, when I try to cover one of the more obscure games, I did a video on Kirby Superstar Stacker, which is basically the Super Nintendo version of Kirby Star Stacker from Game Boy. When I did a video on that, it got dog shit views, like, just nothing. Nobody cared. But the opposite, like, if I do a video, like, before it's on there, I get all these people saying, like, why isn't this on Switch Online? And then, like, a couple weeks later, Drunk predicted this, holy shit. It's like, I didn't do anything. Like, come on, get out of here. But, yeah, it's not significant by any means, I don't think. What about you, Trev? Has anything... Trev, you kind of go about games... when it comes to NES, for you go for the more obscure stuff, it seems like. Not necessarily obscure, but you also do like licensed stuff like Ghostbusters, and you also do like big genre videos and stuff, like here's every wrestling game, right, part one and that sort of thing. So but have you experienced that by any chance?
If I have, it's been luck. I am completely blind to what the online service is doing, and I know that's like not advised. Like, if I really cared about the channel having views and things, I should have my ear to the ground for that kind of thing. But I don't like to be forced into playing something just because of a thing, so I kind of just go with where my curiosity is at any given moment. And it's usually with shitty games, I admit. Like, let's play Xenophobe because it has an alien on the front, and that ended up being a rough weekend. But the video was fun. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know. I'm not a great YouTuber, but I have been lucky a couple times where I'm like, why does this random video, have way more views than these other ones? And then I find out, like, oh, because it just released on the eShop and people were curious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of like a crapshoot in my experience where it's like, I don't know, like, the Spider-Man's doing... The Spider-Man video is doing pretty good, I guess. And, you know, like, I guess it's just because it's Spider-Man, you know. And that was, like, freaking 8 years ago at this point, which is just blows my mind. But that's the one that comes to mind where it's like, why is the Spider-Man video doing well? You know, it's like every Super Nintendo Spider-Man game, and it has, like, six-digit views for me. And I'm just like, what? Like, why?
People love Spider-Man. Like, none of these games... I don't know. They keep making Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. I guess that's part of it. And yeah, games, so I guess there is some. But it's hard to follow, I guess. It's hard to
pay
attention.
I feel like
you can
make yourself crazy thinking about stuff like that.
100%, yeah. Totally
agree
with that.
It seems so stressful. Like, I don't know how people do it. I've, like, uploaded, like, 3 or 4 videos to YouTube, and, like, the idea of, like, having to worry about any of that stuff is just, like, this totally opaque, like, black box that just decides, like, whether you get paid or not. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it seems intimidating to sort of have to kind of live by the... Because at that point, you're not really dictating what you're doing. You're kind of reacting to, you know, everything
exactly.
else that's going on. And
yeah, and that sucks. That's not why I'm doing this.
Yeah,
I don't want to react to anything. I will say I did do a reaction video. Like, I indulged in the YouTube Shorts thing for a bit to see, and I put a reaction thing to my to the announcement of the Mario RPG remake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's doing really well. You know, that is, and it, all it is just me saying, like, yeah, it's one of the 5 best RPGs on Super Nintendo. I don't know. Like, what else am I supposed to say? Like, here you go. But so I think it's kind of useless. I don't buy into the whole cult of personality type thing where it's just like, we want to know what you think. It's like, I think the same thing as anybody right. else about this. Like, what I think is not unique. So it seems kind of useless. I'm just like filling the vacuum. So whatever. But I hear what both of you are saying, where it's just like, that sounds like a thankless job. So I think it sounds like a thankless job too. That's why I don't do it.
I can see, like, you know, occasionally it being worth it if you had enough of a heads up and it was something you're interested in or hadn't covered before. But I'm definitely not going to go out of my way to do it. All that said, though, Jono, I totally appreciate you factoring in our videos into like doing that's research cool. and stuff. And that's what they're for.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a shame that I don't do a better right. job of coinciding it with the timing of their releases. But I am glad that they are useful in that way.
That right. I was going to say, I did a video not too long ago about this, like, Hanna-Barbera game that was only yeah. released in PAL regions. And I was like, I remember writing the script and thinking, like, okay, so this is going to help somebody someday because they're going to be like, what is this game? Is it rare? Is it good? I better buy it. And it's like, I'm saving that person money mm-hmm. by like making, if they're able to see what this game is about, like I'm doing them a favor. So that's what I tell myself.
There you go. And that one guy out there is thanking you right now. He's like, yes. He's probably, for some reason, I imagine him as Dutch, but he's excited about that.
And he still buys it, and he still plays it, and yeah. he's still disappointed.
Yeah, he's like, I was curious. I can't. I mean, I get the same way. I've used your channel for the exact same reason, where it's like, what is this? Oh, this looks like shit. I should get it. Like, I don't know why I still do it. I heard what you said. I saw what you put uh-huh. up there, but I'm like, I don't care. I need to find out for myself.
Oh, Bill Ambeer's combat basketball can't be that bad. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Turns out it can.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
Oh, next is, let's see. Oh, Wives by Blake. Wives.
Very nice.
I'm saying that like, what's his name? Jim Brackmeyer.
I was very nervous to open this email when Blake sent it. I was like, where is this going?
All right. He says, hey, drunk friends, I'm a longtime listener and a fan of all your content. I recently heard Alex refer to his wife. I could have sworn that he said he and Pearl had agreed not to be married.
Whoa. Just like keeping tabs on you,
he's
huh?
calling me out. Please don't read if you think I'm prying, but, well, it's too late for that. but I wondered if Alex would mention any tidbits on his wedding. I'll give you one. There was no wedding. Did you have a SNES cake, a Final Fantasy VII wedding song? Those both sound like awesome ideas.
I know. We need to plan your wedding now. Now I'm motivated.
And he says, on the topic of wives, I was curious if you game with your spouses or if it's mostly a solo time activity. Solo time activity. So if so, what games do you typically play together? All the best, Blake. So I will fill you in on the details, Blake. Not to get too personal. I mean, you did ask about my personal life, but my mother-in-law, my now wife's mother, got really sick this summer, and it became a huge pain in the ass for me to help out with prescription refills, with palliative care that she's getting now, with dialysis and all that fun stuff. So we went to City Hall, and we got the old marriage certificate thing. There was no ceremony. There was none of that. It was just like, instead of just being like some loser that shows up at the pharmacy like, hey, I'm here to pick up this person's prescription. And they're like, who the hell are you? We had to get married. So it's like, okay, let's do this.
No. Well, congrats. That's why. This is the first time I'm hearing it. Blake, Blake, thanks for asking. And also, good job noticing. I never picked up on it. And I'm the dude's friend.
I think I kind of said it out the side of my mouth one time, and I still just refer to her as Pearl.
Yeah.
Because that's just who she is to me. So,
well, the crazy thing is, you said it, and then I had to edit it, and I didn't notice it either time.
What the hell, Trav?
I'm a piece of shit. I don't care about your parents. You didn't invite me to your courthouse wedding anyway.
Let's get this over with. Come on. Sign the damn papers. No,
what am I going to do with the Super Nintendo cake? God damn it.
Oh, no. We don't want to do any of that stuff. Both our families are like very different and very far apart, mm-hmm. and it would be incredibly difficult to coordinate such a thing. So it's like, who cares? And plus, there's all the religious nonsense that goes with it. I'm not going to bother with that. All right, I'm going to get mushy
okay.
for a bit.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just so prepare yourself. But there is a romantic notion. The reason we didn't get married back in the day when we were, started living together and all that sort of stuff is because we liked the romantic notion of being together because we wanted to be together, not because we had to be together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that always rang true for us for years. until, you know, bureaucracy got in the way. So yeah. Now we have to freaking do this. And that's basically where it comes from. So we're still the same people.
That makes total sense.
There was no ceremony. We're not doing anything. We had to do it because I have to pick up somebody else's prescriptions.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, I know a lot of people who have done things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's just like, you just like, you know, if that's what you have to do because of like some government system or insurance or like all these other things, because they'll only recognize you if you're like part of the family because you're married or whatever, then
right.
Yeah. Then, you know, you do whatever makes the most
and
sense.
And then she's not changing her name. And her name would sound ridiculous if she took my last name.
Yeah. Pearl Drunk. Are you kidding me? That's weird.
Pearl Drunk. Yeah, that would be weird. That would be pretty weird. But yeah, that no, my spouse and I are the most unromantic people ever. Like, we just don't care about this kind of stuff. Like, it's all for show, and we have nobody to show it to. You know what I mean? Like, who even cares? So it's fine. Thanks for the nice email though, Blake. I really appreciate you noticing that and writing in about it.
Yeah.
I did not expect anybody to like even pick up on that. I guess I didn't realize I said it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's still weird to say. Neither of us wear rings or anything, and of Pearl being Pearl, she does bug me, you know, like, where's my ring and all that sort of stuff. But she wants like a fancy like new technology. She hates diamonds. She doesn't want blood diamonds from Africa. She wants like some of this like newfangled weird stuff. That's I don't remember the name of it. I think it starts with an M, and it's she bugs me about that. But other than that, we're still the same.
That what you just said is blowing my mind. I got to know what this is. Newfangled thing.
Yeah,
starts with an M.
No, it's like some sort of like fake diamond stuff.
Like adamantium.
Adamantium,
like,
yes.
It's like, you know, a piece of Wolverine skeleton. It's ethical because he grows it back. Like, it's fine.
I would totally wear Wolverine skeleton like around my neck. Or
Yeah.
And I'm like the furthest thing from a jewelry guy. I'm not even a tattoo guy. Like, I don't do any of that stuff. So it's one of those things where it's just like, all right, this is what we're doing now. Fine.
we're all wearing Wolverine skeleton. All right, that's the trend, I guess.
The second part of Blake's question was, what games you playing with your spouse, or do you play with your significant other? And if so, what games you playing?
So I'm not currently involved with anyone, but, in the past, like I don't know, it's funny, like in the past I've been in this situation and I feel like it was before the sort of big return of couch co-op games. It was like in like the early 2010s when those weren't really as much of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of hard finding games that you could play like cooperatively with someone else. And then since then, there's been like all kinds of games. Like I played through It Takes Two with my roommate a year ago, and that was a really cool cooperative experience. Like some of the older Fable games we played.
Nice.
You mentioned Baldur's Gate, like Dark Alliance is a good one to play couch co-op.
Yeah, and Baldur's Gate actually, Baldur's Gate is co-op as well. I haven't actually played multiplayer in Baldur's Gate yet, but that would probably be a good one as well.
Mario Wonder would be a good one.
Ooh, yeah. Because Mario Wonder too, like I like how they have like the characters who don't take damage.
Yeah, Yoshi. Yeah.
Yoshi and Nabbit.
Shit, you just reminded me. I did not mention that in my script. I'm going to have to go back.
Oh, and... shit.
Thank you for reminding me about that.
No problem.
That.
Got him.
I was like, shit, I did not mention that. Oh, my God. I'm going to make a note right now. Thank you.
This guy in his notes.
I'm just going to put Yoshi in all caps.
That'll do it.
This notepad. Oh, it will do it. That's the problem. It will do it. That's why I have 400,000... notepad files on my computer, but yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to jump in. It's typically a solo activity here. My wife got into games for a little bit, specifically Skyrim for like a hot year, but that's not a co-op thing. She basically played at her own speed. We've tried to co-op some games. She's just not as into it, but we did run through It Takes Two which is a great time. It's long.
It is way longer than I thought it would be.
There are about seven times I thought it was about to end, and we were like, yeah, we're about to wrap this one up. What are we going to play next? And it's like, nah, we didn't have to worry about that. We got 17 more hours of gaming to go. But yeah, I would recommend that one to anybody that maybe didn't know. And also, there's a good resource for finding games that are, you know, LAN or couch co-op or online co-op. It's a website called cooptimus.com.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that site.
Yeah,
like, I feel like I used that site like what I was talking about, like early 2010s, to find stuff.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I've used it off and on over the years, and it's a pretty good resource. It goes back a little ways. You can go pretty far back if you're into some retro stuff, but it stays pretty updated too. So, you know, if you want to play online Steam games with people, or you want to share a couch with somebody, it should hook you right up.
I've never heard of that site. That sounds perfect. Yeah, yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's. I remember being a really useful resource for sure.
Pretty good. Yeah, Alex, what about you? You and Pearl playing some games?
Yeah. We play Don't Starve Together sometimes.
That's just called marriage, dude.
Didn't.
Got it.
Got their ass with the rim shot there. Yeah, that is the multiplayer version of Don't Starve. She really got me into that game. I'm pretty sure if I had to take a guess of all the games she's played the past 10 years we've been together, that would rank number one. It's basically a top-down survival adventure game. It's really fun, and it has a whole lot of lore and stuff like that. But we play that together. Honestly, like, couch co-op is just like one of us watching the other, and rooting each other on, like, oh my god, what's this, what's that? That's how I experience a lot of recent games, honestly. And sometimes I'll, like, Elden Ring, like, sometimes I'll just go and play that at like 2 a.m. while she's sleeping or something. I'll just like run around and like do some dumb shit and get myself killed or something. But at least with PlayStation 5. She doesn't touch Switch much. That's basically mine. But with PlayStation 5, that's the other modern console we have. It's like anything's on the table. Like, if we find something that we both like, we'll play it. I guess the most recent one is probably Elden Ring that we just kind of took turns with.
Mm.
That was fun. It's not really my thing, though. I just don't like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's not that it's hard. It's that it's just awkward.
Or the
Dark Souls games.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah, yeah.
Like basically third person, those third person games in general, don't agree with my brain at all.
That's fair.
Like, I go into N64 mode and I expect everything to be all like gray fog and shitty and everything. And like slow to react and everything. I'm not sure. I think I just need to like desensitize myself to myself to all the nonsense that I've gotten used to over the years. But
yeah, I think we need to upgrade your firmware, dude. You're still running
exactly
on some of that old 90s shit.
That's a more efficient way of putting it, for sure. Yeah, my firmware needs to be upgraded. But I'm trying to think of the last one that I think the South Park games were really fun for us. The Stick of Truth, and then what's the other one? Butthole something.
Fractured
Butthole.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun with those because we both think South Park is funny. So, yeah.
Nice.
I think those were the ones that we both like 100% completed together.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you for that email, Blake. Very packed. Very packed. Up next, we got Michael Wilson with Questionnaire.
Wait a second. Michael Wilbon.
I'm sorry.
I mean Wilson.
I'm sorry. That's our bad for not making that fake mistake.
That's right.
Sent an email called Questionnaire. Lucky it didn't get tossed in the spam folder during this during election season. But it got through, Michael. Don't worry. He says, howdy, drunk friends. I hope you're all doing well and are ready for some questions. And you goddamn right we are. All right. He says, here we go. If there is one video game you can play for the rest of your life, which would it be? Huh? What do you guys take?
Let's stop. Chrono Trigger.
Of course.
Wow. Just right off the dome. Ready
Dang.
To go.
Dang.
I mean, yeah, there's so much to it, and I love there's not a part of it that I don't like. So it's like, why would I say anything else?
Damn, I haven't played Chrono Trigger since probably the late 90s. I should really replay it at some point.
Do you ever, let me ask you guys this. Do you ever run into people that get, you know, the personality type where they get angry that you haven't done something and you haven't seen something?
Yeah.
Where you say, I haven't played Chrono Trigger, and they're like, you haven't played Chrono Trigger. It's like, dude, shut up. Like, nobody, like, why are you getting angry? Like, get over yourself.
And like, I feel like that's such a weird attitude to have too, because like, when it's me and I encounter someone who hasn't seen or whatever something that I really like and I think they would like it, I don't get like angry. I'm like, wow, I'm so excited for you. Like, you get to you get to experience this awesome thing.
That's the attitude to have.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I get excited because I'm like, this is my opportunity to mansplain. This is awesome. Coming at you.
Okay, so Chrono is a kid and he's living in the past.
And he has a bunch of, he has a cat that you can talk to at the beginning.
Hell yeah.
And then you go to the Millennial Fair.
There's this robot you can beat up for silver points.
And he has a cool song that he sings every time.
Chrono Trigger. Okay, Travis, do you have one?
I was trying to think of one. I was caught between like a game that I love, but I think I would worry that I would just ruin it. But it's the only game I can play for the rest of my life. So it's either I leave it with the memories of it that I have, or I take it and I spoil it by just beating the shit out of it and getting tired of it. Or do I take something that maybe I've only charted a little bit of and I know is a bit more like evergreen in terms of what it has to offer, like maybe a No Man's Sky or something. Something that's kind of got like an endless wonder to it. Like that could get old, but it also has like a ton of replay value. So I'm kind of stuck there. So I'll probably just choose NES Tetris.
That's a good call.
I mean, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I play Tetris almost every single day.
There we go. Well, I guess that'll be my choice then. It was kind of sarcastic, but the more I think about it, I'm like, no, actually.
No, Tetris is a great choice because it's not like a narrative game where you play through it and you're done. It's just like, you can just keep going.
Every day.
Good choice.
All right, I think that merits back on the hot block.
Up until recently, I would have said Destiny, but that feels like cheating because it's updated so often. And I feel like this question is like predicated on game that doesn't change and you just keep going back to it. So I guess I would probably say Dark Souls. I just really love it's maybe my favorite game of all time. And I've played through it 3 times at this point. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I would get bored of it, but like you can do so much stupid stuff in that game. And I used to hate those games. And then I played through all of them on a stream. And
that's awesome. There's so many people in our Discord that they have a bit of a FromSoft cult going on. We've locked them in their own thread so they can go in there.
You've contained them. Yeah.
But
round them up, herd them up.
Yeah, but they get into it. I mean, and I do, from the outside looking in, it looks great because they band together and they're able to help each other out. And then I kind of feed off of like how much fun they're having by witnessing it. I've tried to play. They don't mesh with me either, mainly because I don't have the patience for them.
If you kind of like the vibe of those games or like the idea of them, but like if the combat is frustrating or they're too slow or whatever, a really good game actually that came out earlier this year that I played through and really enjoyed is Remnant 2.
Okay.
It's kind of like Dark Souls, but it's a shooter. Like it's a third person shooter and you don't lose anything when you die. You just go back to the spawn point. You keep all your experience and everything. It has kind of a cool story where you're traveling through different dimensions. So every world is like radically different. And you don't need to have played the first one. I didn't. And it's kind of a standalone thing. But just like a really solid third-person Souls-like kind of game.
Well, that's a good recommendation. I'm looking at screenshots, and the screenshots I'm looking at look a lot like Bloodborne to me. So
there's a level that literally is Bloodborne.
Okay, like, maybe that's what I'm seeing. Yeah,
like there's like different like there's one world that's like it's like a dead alien world, and you're fighting like alien ghosts. There's like a big jungle temple, and there's one level where they're like, "What if we just did Bloodborne?"
Yeah. Okay, that must be what I'm looking at. That's awesome. Very cool.
Nice.
All right. So have you, Michael Wilbon continues, have you ever had a dream about a video game? If so, which is the most memorable for you? I mean, I brought up Tetris for my number one, but I have played enough Tetris to where I've had Tetris dreams. I don't want to make Tetris every answer, but holy shit.
You stole my answer. I was going to say Tetris.
The Tetris like, effect is real.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're this all three saying Tetris?
No, I, for me, like, I've had, you know, dreams about different games, and, like, sometimes they're, like, a game that doesn't exist, or, like...
Really?
Yeah, like, I'll just be, like, playing something, and I'm like, oh, this is cool, and then I wake up, and I'm like, huh, that, what was that? It doesn't exist, it's not real. But sometimes, like, I remember, I still remember this, it was, like, a nightmare I had when I was maybe, like, 6 years old. And it was about playing, I was like playing a Mario game, but it was called like Super Mario Circus.
Oh.
And it was like Mario walking over a tightrope, but then there was like some kind of like horrific monster that jumped out and like killed him. And I woke up like so scared and upset. And actually, I think I haven't thought of that in a long time until this question, but that's probably the most memorable because it's, you know, I can remember it 30 years later.
That's awesome.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
I got to make a ROM hack of that.
A dream hack.
Oh.
Nice. I like that. I don't know. I all I can come up with is just Tetris. Like,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think I've ever had any other... I'm trying to rack my brain. All my dreams are me getting lost somewhere and me trying to, like, find where I'm supposed to go. And there's a bunch of stuff in my way trying to, like... prevent me from getting where I need to go. That's every single dream I have. It's I don't know what that means psychologically, but it's just really annoying and burdensome. So stop it, brain.
I think I played enough Power Wash Simulator to also have some Power Wash dreams. I'll throw that
it's like
there.
The most mundane game to have dreams about. Just like just like washing.
I know it, and like the dream wasn't even exciting. I was just doing chores. I'm like this. At least with the Tetris one, it was trippy. This one was just like, okay, we're on the sidewalk still. We're cleaning that. Okay. I hope something happens in this dream. I was probably peeing the bed. I had no idea. But I was peeing hard as fuck. All right. Number three here from Michael Wilbon. This is a Breath of Fire 2 question, and I've heard Travis has been playing the game. So this could be a spoiler for you. Depends on if you've made it to Simafort yet or not. And I have, so don't worry. If you're at that point, then keep reading. Okay, good. Did you know that in the Wicked Witch Tower dungeon, you have the option to exit near the top of the tower onto the world map? I've made the mistake of climbing all the way up without defeating the Wicked Witch and then dropping back out onto the world map. And he says, thanks for reading my email and hope you have a good rest of your October.
I don't know what happened there, Trav, but you almost did a Randy Savage there when you were reading. You were like, I've made the mistake of climbing all the way up. Oh, yeah. And it's like, what happened to Trav's voice there? It's like, holy crap. He's Macho Man all of a sudden.
Climbing all the way up to the top. Yeah.
He's savaging. Yeah.
Man, was it like an artifact in the audio or did my voice really click down?
No, your voice was like, I'm climbing all the way up. And it was like, whoa, Trav's getting serious on us.
I got you for three questions.
This is how I read stories to my daughter. I add a lot of texture to the narrative.
That's funny.
But I did this exact thing, actually. It was very frustrating.
Yep.
I left.
Classic.
I left, and then I ran around the world for like another 3 hours leveling up. I'm like, where the fuck am I supposed to go now? And I was supposed to be still in that tower.
Right.
There's so many troll things like that in that game. Like, just so many, like, little things where it's just punishing you because they can.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, but it's also pretty annoying. Breath of Fire 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. And I think it's just because I played it really young and, like, didn't really understand what it was about. But I feel like that game, like, if Capcom re-released it with just, like, toned down the enemy encounters, fixed the dialogue, it would be like way better regarded than it currently is. Because like those are the two problems with it, right? Like it's like you walk five steps and like run into an enemy, and also all the dialogue is totally busted because it was made for like Japanese text and then they tried to cram English text into it. So you get just items that are like Bernstirk or like Grimfrop, and it's like, what is that? I use this in combat? Like, what does that mean? But I still love it.
Yeah, I've been having fun with it. It is definitely longer than I expected. And I brought this up
very long.
Yeah, I brought this up on a different podcast I'm on, but like I tend to play, especially in RPG, I get lost. I'm like Alex in his dreams. I get lost constantly in RPGs. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do next. I read all of the text too. That's what's frustrating. I'm like, how are people figuring this out? I have a PhD. I don't know where to go ever.
And I think I used a GameFAQ back when I played it in like the late 90s on an emulator. I just had like a GameFAQ pulled open and was like, oh, so you have to go into the whale and then you fly to the other side of the planet. Like, what?
I think that's an idea for your next book. It's I don't know how it would work as a book, but it's like diving
like
the depths of GameFAQ because I love finding good FAQ from like 2001. It's and you got oh, you got
so
the ASCII
good.
Art
just
up
like,
top. You got
ASCII art. You've got like a 9/11 memorial message or something. you've got just like
I'm sorry to laugh that hard.
No, but like but
Jesus,
that's,
that is so
but,
spot on.
But it's yeah, and like you've got things like oh, the following sites are allowed to use this: GameFAQ, Cheat CC, and like Doug's cheat codes or whatever.
And I love the like, there's always a little commentary about how the game how they. You know, it's like when you find a recipe online today where like the first 18 paragraphs are about their personal history with salad. And then you get to like a recipe.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Now, though, I'm glad those exist because like when you go back and it's like someone like I played like, oh, yeah, I played Dragon Ball Super Budokan on my Super Nintendo in Brazil growing up. And or like, you know, this game is very cool. I love Goku and Vegeta. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder where this person is now. Like,
I'm not here for that. I'm here. This is a GameFAQs thing. Like, thank you for soapboxing about Dragon Ball, but yeah, now it's like endearing when you see that, and it's just like raw text, looks like a notepad file. I love that kind of stuff. It's so great. And I'm actually, like, honestly, like, really disappointed when I look up a game and there's no FAQ for it. It's like, I'm crestfallen when I don't see one. Like, I don't remember what game it was, but it might have been, like, Obidus, I think, for Super Nintendo, which sounds like it.
My aunt has Obidus.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a disease, but I was like, oh, no, there's no, I don't think it was that, but it was like one of those games, one of those type of games, and there was nothing for it, and I'm just like, oh, damn it. Like, those are so, like, fun to, like, kind of dive into, and, like, it's very endearing to see that stuff now. It's funny how time works, I guess. Like,
yeah,
it works like that, you know. Like, it was really annoying back in the day, but now it's like I look forward to seeing that. I guess it's kind of like how cartridges are now, where it's like you get a cartridge and it's got like Sharpie scribbled on it and letters carved into it, like Janice and
fucking Janice.
Wait, what game was that again?
I haven't been able to find it. I need to go back and look. Okay. But I definitely have some of Janice's property. But and that's a good point. Like, modern games, when I, you know, look for like a walkthrough, I'm disappointed because, you know, obviously there's not a lot of game facts being populated, at least in the old style. But you get taken to like the IGN page. It's like 30 pages long, riddled with ads. Half the top of the screen's a video.
No kidding, man. It's the worst.
It's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Game facts is just like raw text. There it is. Mm. And you don't have to like humor some guy on YouTube that's like, I remember, like, looking up a, just for fun, when I was first playing, or I shouldn't say first, but, like, when I was first, like, kind of, taking notes on Mario RPG for the video I made, this, Jesus Christ, this is, like, 2013, 10 years ago, or 2014, something like that. I remember, like, looking up a Let's Play just to make sure I could see everything that I had missed. And I was like skipping around it. And this guy has like this Jersey accent and like, okay, here's what you need to do. Get these frog coins. And it's just like, you know, like, it's like, okay. All right.
Like, are you mad?
Are you pissed off at this game? Like, I don't know. I just remember like looking up this YouTube walkthrough to make sure like, okay, I want to make sure I like pick up everything that I missed at this point. And it was just so strange to like look this up, and it was so foreign to me to just kind of dive into this. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like you're experiencing it through somebody else's eyes, and that's mm-hmm. that's weird. When you have a fact, you're still looking at it through your own eyes, I guess. That's my point.
Right. It's a little more...
Yeah. It's more your own. When you look at it through YouTube walkthroughs, it feels like it's more somebody else's.
That makes sense.
That's just my opinion.
Hi, I'm Michelle from Point and Drink Adventure Podcast. Join me and my friend Pam from YouTube channel Cannot Be Tamed as we drink a little wine and talk about the media we consume. Everything from movies, video games, and even vinyl pickups. Listen on wherever podcasts can be heard and check out our YouTube channel, Point and Drink Adventure, for more extra video recordings of our podcast. Drink well, my friends. Bye.
All right. Well, we got real excited there. That was a fun email, Michael Wilbon. Thank you, Michael Wilbon. Thank you for that. we're at the top of that. We're going to skip down. We're going to jump right into the YouTube comment section. Mm. So Merritt, bear with us. Laugh along. Add your own commentary as you'd like. But Alex, would you get started here? You had some good YouTube comments lately.
Well, they're not like funny, haha YouTube comments. I haven't gotten very many of those lately, actually. I looked for some. I couldn't find any. But there's one from, he's got a, well, I'm not going to say. I'll just say, at Jamie Bainbridge, they say, it's 1985. Do you choose Ridge Racer or Donald Duck Window Washing Simulator? And that's on the video that I made this past week about the Donald Duck game that never came out in the U.S. for Super Famicom, or for Super Nintendo, I guess. But I thought that was, I was like, yeah, if I'm in 1985, I would have been 13 years old. And yeah, I would have chosen Ridge Racer 100 times out of 100 over some like Donald Duck game. But at the same time, it's like, that's not what this is about. You know, I just appreciate the comment because it's still kind of thought provoking. Like, put yourself now back then. It's a fun exercise. It promotes brain elasticity, I guess.
I mean, you know how much I love a power washing simulator. You give me a window washing simulator. Game over.
That next game is level. So weird, though, because it like starts off as window washing simulator, and then it's like, oh, actually, there's a magic hat. You need to go on a quest,
that
Donald. Like,
blew,
what? What are you talking about?
That blew my
about?
Mind. And you, Merritt, you were the person that pointed that out to me by sending me that email. I was like, what? And I went back, and I'm like,
well,
okay.
The funny thing is, like, so the funny thing about that is that I was streaming like a month or two ago, and I was just playing through, like, I watched your video on SNES Disney games, and I was just like playing through a bunch of them on stream. And then I got to that one, and I was like, oh, it's just like this simulator thing. And I was playing it in Japanese, so like I didn't know what was going on. And like I finished like the the errand stuff, and then it's like, wait, what? This is just like a platformer, like a magical quest like platformer now.
That's what? So cool.
How have it I was never heard about this? This is
yeah
wild.
No, and I hadn't either.
Yeah, it's not that, like, it's not as good gameplay wise as Magical Quest, but it looks so good. Like, it's gorgeous, the amount of work that went into the animation in that game.
Yep. Yeah, just the game over screen alone, where you have Huey, Dewey, and Louie like jumping up and down yelling at Donald, doing the temper tantrum effect. Oh,
I love the ending too, when Donald sings.
That's the other thing that blew my mind. The ending is like really substantial for a Super Nintendo game. I was not expecting that at all. It was really cool to see. So thanks for pointing that out. I just wanted to say
no
that.
Yeah, no problem.
It was weird. Like, I was just like, because it's easy. It really is very easy to be like, okay, this is why this game. I made a lot of assumptions, and it was like, okay, this is why this game never got localized, because it's just a bunch of stuff, you know, just errands, like you said. So yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. Oh yeah, I can knock this one out real quick, because it's another it's another thoughtful comment about Sea of Stars. Merritt, I don't know if you've played this. Trav, I don't know if you've played this either, but Sea of Stars is a Chrono Trigger inspired, very obviously inspired, RPG for Switch that, well, for a few different systems, I think, but for Switch, that's how I played it. But we got a comment from Pretty Guardian saying, we've definitely seen things swing around in the gaming industry over the over the last couple of years, but in general, I think that the hype has to do with the fact that there is an active segment of the gaming community that loves this style of game that has been largely pushed to the side because of titles like Call of Duty and FIFA that are easier to milk for profit. It's awesome that there is still space for games like Sea of Stars, and I hope that Sabotage keeps rocking it out. And I thought that was a good comment because it's not just because I agree with it, but because I'm not sure how to describe Sea of Stars. Is it like a niche within a niche or what? But it's, I'm not sure how to, I don't know. What do you guys, how do you guys react to something like that? Like when you see like the meatheads are playing Call of Duty and FIFA, but there's still an audience for something like this. But at the same time, it's like, how do you make sure that this type of game keeps thriving? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how does this game, this type of game, grow from here? And I thought Sea of Stars was a really good step in the right direction. Sea of Stars, all you got to do is just like glance at the screen. It looks like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, it's like a Chrono Trigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing I think that this year has shown in a lot of ways, like you were talking earlier, Trav, about this year being really a great year for games. And what's interesting to me is like there's a lot of genres that have been showing up that I think a lot of money people are like, oh, there's no money in this, or like no one cares about this, like five right. people like this. Like Baldur's Gate 3 is a CRPG, and like it was like not many people make those anymore because people just kind of assumed like, oh, people don't want this. Or like what's the mech game by FromSoft. I cannot believe I'm spacing on this, but like that, or like, you know, like a big mech game, like, oh, people don't like mech games, so we shouldn't be. But like
Armored Core, right?
Armored Core. Yeah. Or like that's Sea right. of Stars, like, oh, people don't want like this kind of thing. But like, I think it's, we're seeing that like people do want this stuff, and like there is an appetite for it. And so there's going to be more developers being like, or more publishers, I guess I should say, being willing to like, mm-hmm. take a chance on things like this.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, take a chance on games like this, because what sucks, I you've been able to articulate that for me, thank you. So it's like Call of Duty and FIFA are to appease the stockholders, basically,
right?
Because
yeah.
EA is a publicly traded company, which sucks for everybody, because yeah. meatheads are just like, all right, I'm gonna buy the latest thing, and it's like a magazine subscription at this point, a very expensive one. So it just becomes stupid. And it's like real art like Sea of Stars, which I consider to be, you know, an artistic work, at least, maybe not a masterpiece, but a artistic work. It's like this stuff deserves to be noticed too, along with that stuff. So I like the comparison to the other popular stuff, because it's like there needs to be room for games like this. There needs to be, because otherwise what the hell are we doing? That's just my opinion.
That's right. Let me borrow that soapbox. I need it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Do great.
I need my soap.
Yeah, who keeps it in the box? The fuck? But yeah. I was also thinking too, I wonder if they take any, if developers for games like this or developers who are interested in making games like this pay attention to what, say, like the Nintendo Online Shop is doing with some of like the older RPGs that are out. Like, do they see like an uptick in people downloading those or talking about those or engagement with those? And that's like, well, yeah, there now there's a case to say that, yeah, people are still interested because they're still replaying the fucking old ones. Like,
right,
shouldn't there be a market for like a new one? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I will say, those modern Call of Duties, still fun.
Are they? I would not
know. If you can figure out how to get through the fucking menus. Have you seen the menus on those things?
No, I have not.
It's like signing up for healthcare. Like, holy shit, dude, I just want to shoot guys.
Oh, no. That's a nightmare.
Yeah. Anyway, I got comments. Let me run through them real quick. Did a Holy Diver video way long time ago. Early video in my channel. And this comment comes in 2 days ago and says a lot of things that it made me feel like I wrote the comment on my own video. I agreed with it pretty much. So Andy Author 2007 says, I think, and they're really trying to put together like why this game exists, which I love, a good plot hole filler.
I think what happened was the powers that be at IRM sat down with their design team and the powers that be said, for our next NES game, we're going to make a game that is so effing hard that only about 5% of the gaming community can beat it. We also want it to be annoying as hell to play, make the player switch between the gameplay screen and menu screen to select magic, and then map the change between regular shot and magic to the select button. And this was the result. This game would have been much better on the Super Nintendo. You could have had a dedicated shot button, a dedicated magic button, and you could have changed magic on the fly using the L and R buttons. And then you could have jazzed up the graphics and sound a bit, but no! They had to put it on the NES that doesn't have enough buttons. I can't beat this game even with cheat codes. I still bought one of the Retrobit collector's editions, though for posterity purposes. As did I, by the way. If I ever have kids someday, I want to sit them down, show them this game, and say, Dad played this back in the day. Here, give it a try, and then see how long it takes before they start using words they are forbidden to say and are too young to say. This game is so balls hard, it probably won't take long. LOL! Amen.
Yeah.
That's anybody still here?
That's no. I'm still. I was me applauding. I don't know if that through on the mic. Didn't. I was. That is a hell of a promo that Andy Author 2007 cut on this on Holy Diver. He's apparently had this built up inside of him.
We've got a storyline of Andy Author versus Holy Diver going, and they've just worked it. It's
man. Like that is a
I'm glad it was worth waking up my family for. It needed to be done.
That's a hell of a comment right there. wow. That's a doozy.
L and R buttons. Nobody's using them.
Nobody's using them.
Holy Diver could have used them. All right, we got another here. The Ghostbusters video. More recent video, more recent comment. All right. The bad seed. I'm sorry. The underscore bad seed.
Yeah.
I love this. I love a good nostalgic memory comment. I get a lot of these. I have great nostalgic memories of playing this on the Commodore 64 for hours while wearing my Ghostbusters t-shirt with my name on the back in big iron-on letters. And I thought that was great.
No, the iron-on letters is a staple of the... My best friend, my childhood best friend's mom ran a daycare, so she like did that kind of stuff all the time for her kids that came over that she had to watch and stuff like that at her house, and she did that kind of stuff all the time, so that... I love that kind of, you know, and they were really into Ghostbusters too. They had all the action figures and all the car and the trap that where you step on the thing and it opens up and yeah. I was never a big Ghostbusters guy, but I appreciated your video on that because it was reminded me of my childhood friend. So
yeah. The toys for Ghostbusters were always pretty cool.
Yeah, they were top notch. Yeah. They were better than like Ninja Turtles or any of the other ones.
This is really goofy and kind of embarrassing, but I recently found out that they reissued a bunch of those toys at like Walmart and Target and stuff. And I think this was like a few years ago, but they're still around in stores. So I bought off of Amazon this toy that I remember seeing at a Toys R Us when I was like 5 or 6, and it's from those like that Ghostbusters toy line where it was like objects that had ghosts in them. So it's a toilet that like opens up and like in the tank there's like eyes and then there's like a tongue coming out of the bowl.
I remember that.
And like I had such a strong memory of seeing that like in the store, and then I was like, I can get that now. Holy
shit, dude. Can we talk about Toys R Us for a second? Like what a freaking tease that store was. Like it was unbelievable to go to Toys R Us. I don't know about you guys, but I was like I was so into Toys R Us. Like
it was huge. Like I
blew my mind. Yeah. Every time I went, it was just like I did not know this existed. My imagination was limited to like JCPenney Christmas catalogs. That was it. So when I went to Toys R Us, I was like, I did not know this existed. I didn't know this existed. It was just like one thing after another. So it was like mind overblown. Toys R Us needs more DAP, I think. Do people still say DAP?
I don't know what that means. I feel like maybe you said something weird.
Am I the oldest white guy ever? I don't know.
If you get caught dapping near a Toys R Us, they'll haul you off.
It was for people of a certain age, it was like definitely like an iconic kind of childhood experience, and like, you know, going to like the game section and you would get like
Yeah.
You wouldn't like bring the cartridge or like the box to the, you'd bring like the little piece of paper to like the board team working there to get a copy of like a terrible, like that's where I got my copy of Rocketeer for the Super Nintendo.
Oh no, that game is freaking terrible.
Awful. The cover looked so cool though. And then I got it home and never got past the flight, like the first stage where you fly in a circle in the airplane.
I hate that game.
It's one of, I would say it's like in the top 10 worst games on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, 100%. And then you get to the next level and guess what you do?
Also
you fly in a circle again.
I tried to replay it actually recently on stream and it's,
bless your heart,
it's really hard even as an adult. Like it's so bad.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this about the Toys R Us experience is that the Toys R Us experience weighed in much heavier than the rental experience because it felt like Toys R Us had every game. Whereas the rental store had like, I don't know, 30 games.
Right. And like usually the good ones were not there.
Yeah. So. And Mega Man X and Castlevania were checked out. But when you went to Toys R Us, it was like, oh shit, this game exists? Like Romance of the Three Kingdoms? Like that, what the hell even is that? Nobunaga's Ambition? Like what even is
that?
Do you not
buy these?
It looks awesome. But then you like, you know, fast forward a million years and I'm like playing these games like, God, thank God I didn't waste my money on this crap because it's just.
Yeah, on these like weird PC ports.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of menus and just nothing. But the cover art looked amazing. Mm-hmm. Like you can't get better than the art for Romance of the Three Kingdoms 4 Wall of Fire. It's like. There's nothing but flames, and then there's like these badass Japanese looking samurai dudes like posing all tough, and it's like, fuck yeah, I want to play that, and it's you think it's gonna be like Mega Man X with samurais or something? No, it's just like no, it's these
it's
guys.
It's like Menu Man X.
Yeah, it's well done, Trev.
Wow.
That is fantastic. Fantastic work there.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to print that out and put it on my fridge.
God. I appreciate it.
I'm in awe right now. The Menu Man X.
I peaked. You have to find
folks,
a new co-host. I'm out.
That is, we're shutting down the podcast. That's it. We can't get better than that.
Yeah, go out on a high note.
Speaking of high notes, we have one more comment, and it is my favorite one. On my Ghostbusters video.
Listen, I think I have to read this one, to be fair.
Okay.
I'm sorry to butt in, because this question requires a certain voice that I think needs to be highlighted at this point. It's from @OPCGaming.
Wow, calling this person out.
And this person says... Well, actually, the characters are scientists. And by the way, to give context, this is on Trav's Ghostbusters games on the NES. So he's talking about the Ghostbusters, and Trav said a comment about the Ghostbusters in, I don't know, the movie or the game or whatever.
Yeah, I sarcastically filled everybody in. I said, to fill you in quickly on the movies, you know, sarcastically, I said, a few comedians get together and invent a ghost trap for de-haunting the city of New York. That's all I said.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to give context to this comment. Yeah, I just want to set it up because this person's comment says, the characters are scientists, not comedians. The actors are comedians.
Oh.
Like,
wow.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Like, nobody... That's... Listen, I told Trav this before we started recording. I've seen a lot of Will Actually's. I have not seen one that good ever.
That's pretty pedantic.
Ever.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Ever.
I pinned it and I said, oh, okay, thanks.
What else can you say, right?
I appreciate
just like,
that.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Jesus. I love coming from the, I had no idea. I thought the whole fucking time they were, okay, I see what you're saying now. So they're actors. Okay.
Oh, wait. So you're saying this didn't happen?
Like,
wait. So you're wait. Sorry. Is this true of every like?
I was
are
under
all
the impression.
Made up?
I was under the impression this was a documentary. Actually. Okay.
Yeah. Wait. So there wasn't a Big Marshmallow Man in New York. Like they. So you're saying they lied to me? Is what you're saying?
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd lied to me.
Very good, Merritt. That's excellent. You need to go aggressive and say like they lied to you.
Well, I just saw Galaxy Quest again, so that's sort of the whole plot of that movie.
That's one of my favorite movies ever. Yes, that is
great
awesome
movie.
Oh god, that is my favorite comment in a long time. Nothing I could have pulled from my channel could top that ever.
God, I find that hard to believe, but that's I'm glad to take the trophy.
No way, that comment is amazing. That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Oh gosh.
Well, I think that wraps up the episode. Merritt, you got the plug a lot in the beginning, but on the way out the door here, what are some places you'd point folks?
Yeah, just go to my website, otherstrangeness.com. I post all my stories there. It's mostly horror fiction, some kind of like creepypasta type stuff. And yeah, get that Howard comic if you like Howard the Duck. I know he's one of the most successful characters in the Marvel franchise, the 10 movies and counting. Everyone loves it. No, but I think it's a fun story, and it should be a fun comic. So
right on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man,
anytime.
It's great having you.
This is so fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's been another Drunk Friend podcast. You can find more of our podcasts and shows over on polymedianetwork.com. There's new episodes of Polykill every couple of weeks, Point and Drink Adventure with Pam and Petey, Welcome to Goosebumps. That's not it. That's not the name of the podcast. It's called We Got Goosebumps. There's also Indie Quest, and there's more podcasts out there. Check them all out.
Hey, come on, folks. Like, can we give Trav some shit for screwing up the names of his podcasts? Because he's had like 1,000 of them now, and he can't keep track of how many he has. You can send a... You can send an email to the show at drunkfriendpodcast@gmail.com. If you're not interested in sending an email, it's not a big deal. You can just give us a rating and a review on a podcast app of your choice, and that'll help us out big time.
That's right. You can find us on social media less and less all the time. We do have a subreddit for our
seriously.
Network. Our Polymedia, we have an Instagram at Polymedia Network, all one word. You can find me in most places. Trav plays games. Alex is, of course, at SNES Drunk. And Merritt, what's your socials these days? Not your social security number, but like the...
Yeah, so it's 5... Oh, wait. Oh, okay. I'm really not on Twitter anymore because I kind of finally gave up.
Yeah.
I am technically still on there. I haven't looked at it in weeks. I'm Merritt K on there. Merritt K9 on Instagram. And MerrittK.com on Blue Sky, which is where I'm most active at the moment.
All
right. Right on. The track you hear, presumably, right now, was composed by our friend Kulur and is called Electric Starbounce. And I'm really intimidated by what I'm going to read right now because this is a big buildup. I feel like I'm playing a Mario Wonder level right now where I'm like playing like a secret thing. And I'm just like, okay, here it comes. You can find a link to more of his music on the Buzzsprout.
Oh, you're doing great.
I choked. No.
Oh.
It's what it is Buzzsprout podcast. It's the
Buzzsprout
consecutive
podcast page. Buzzsprout pod. Yeah, no, it's tough.
Yeah, it's three consecutive P's, and then you follow it up with Josh Leslie, and it's like Mushmouth all over
field.
The place. Okay, so let me try it. You can find a link to more of his music on the Buzzsprout podcast page. Shout out to... Nope.
Shanked it left. Again.
Shout out to Josh Leslie for... God damn it. For our Thirst Quenching logo. I'm just going to punt.
Yeah. You know, that I'm looking at, I don't even know why we say Buzzsprout podcast page. We could just say show notes. But you know what? I'm leaving it. Be sure to catch us
God
on YouTube. Thanks for listening.
We'll have you have a grass, Travis. Hey, cheers! God damn it, Trev, I hate you.
It's like I've never actually listened to what he's saying there. We don't even need that.
Buzzsprout. Seriously, Buzzsprout podcast page. Shout out to Josh Leslie. I can't do it. I can't.